Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. What is it about so many believers in Christianity that it just seems that they can't really grab a hold of a call or a faith? They can't really grab a hold of a life that's laid down. They can't really grab a hold of the cross. They can't grab a hold of the things that are real and substantial and significant. They're always occupied with details. Not that we don't deal with details, we do, but we don't become occupied with the details. Or even, what is it why believers are so fearful or so doubtful sometimes? That they'll trust God as long as they can see their way, but won't trust if they can't. Not that they're not willing, they're not resting. Why is it? What is it that plagues believers? What is it that plagues believers that they just can't seem to get a hold of spirituality and make it real in their life? As I was contemplating, it occurred to me why they cannot. You know why they cannot? Because they are absorbed by their navel. They are. They are contemplating their navel and they become absolutely absorbed by their navel. And so there are things, the magnificent beauty of God, a brilliant call, the moving of the kingdom is happening all around them and they are enticed, entranced, absorbed by their own navel. They are absorbed by their navel. Why? Why are they absorbed by their navel? Because it is a place that they are familiar with. Because it's a place they are familiar with and it is not foreign to them. They've been there before. And so they are absorbed by their navel. They piddle around in it because they like it there. You don't think so? Job 40, verse 16. The Word of God says, "Lo, now, his strength is in his loins, and his force is in the navel of his belly." And then in verse 19, it says, "He is the chief of the ways of God. He that made him can make his sword to approach unto him." But in Ezekiel 16 and verse 4, the Word of God says, now listen to this. "And as for thy nativity, in the day thou wast born, thy navel was not cut, neither was thou washed in water to supple thee. Thou wast not salted at all, nor swaddled at all." What does it mean when I say believers are entranced, absorbed in their navel? The navel is that which leads to the belly. It is the conduit, if you will, to the belly. When the Bible talks about things like the belly, it is a mononym and it's referring to the emotions. The navel is that which feeds the emotions. So many believers, I would say the majority of believers in our country, are absorbed in their emotions. Whether they would call those emotions healthy or unhealthy, they are very emotionally based. And they look to their emotions to see about God. Too often it is possible, and I don't think so much here, not in a place where you have good, strong doctrine, this is not going to be as much of a problem. But in a place where you have a lack of strong doctrine, you're going to have believers who respond to their emotions as though they were God. And so an emotion, a subjective impression comes on them. They're thinking about something, they're pondering something, they're hoping for something perhaps, and then it's God's will, I thought of it. You see, that's the emotions working. Now, the emotions will respond to God, but they will respond to everything else also. Now, be careful. That is not to say God does not speak to believers. Jesus said, "My sheep will hear my voice." But as a believer, I must learn to distinguish between my emotions and God's voice. They don't sound the same. Okay? They do not sound the same. My emotions will always go according to my wants or according to my fears. God's voice will go according to God's perfect plan, and it'll come with His character. God's voice will call me to that which is perhaps impossible for me. My emotions will call me according to my lust patterns. Maybe I have a lust to be a power lust, and so my emotions will say, you're going to be a senator. You should go run for the Senate. You know how it comes out? I mull things around, and then all of a sudden, in my mulling, I define it as something other than what it is. Learn to define for yourself when you hear from God and when you don't. It's not hard to distinguish. It's actually very simple to distinguish. But learn to define for yourself when you hear from God and when you don't. And when you do hear from God, don't let your emotions add or take away from what you have heard. When God speaks to your heart, God speaks to your heart. And He says exactly what He means to say, but after He has said it, don't let your emotions mess with the message. For example, maybe you receive a calling of some kind. Okay? And then your emotions start to play around in it. You can't do that. Okay, but if you are honest with yourself, and if you get objective with yourself, you will be able to identify exactly what it is that God says to you and what it is that your emotions say to you. Separate the two. Separate the two. And then when you hear from God, you can be confident in what you heard, knowing that it wasn't just an emotional thought. But sometimes believers, because they do not have maturity, because they do not have... Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying you have to be a mature believer to hear from God. Anyone is capable of hearing from Him if they have the Holy Spirit in him. So that's not what I'm trying to say. I'm trying to say that if I am immature about the way I hear, if I have heard, then I will get emotions wrapped up and they will start to add or take away. You see, believers have a trouble of getting a hold. Why do so many believers fret? Right? Why do so many believers fret about things? Their life, their calling, their children, their family, their job, whatever it is. Why do they keep fretting? Because they're enthralled with their navel. That's why they keep fretting. Because they're sitting there staring at their navel. Why do so many believers have difficulty entering into a call, even knowing what a call is? One, they're not taught. And because they're not taught, they sit there staring at their navel. I'll never forget when I was first saved. I was in college and I asked a guy... for spit and vinegar, kind of fiery little, you know, new born again Christian, a lot of zeal and not much brains. But I asked the guy, "What's your call?" And he said, he looked me square in the eye, he said, "Middle level management." That poor guy had no idea what a call was. He thought he was called to mediocrity. He didn't know what a call was because he wasn't taught. But his emotions felt very comfortable there. I'm not real poor. I'm not real comfortable. I don't have all that much responsibility either. I have some, but not that much. I'm right in there where it's nice and comfortable. Nobody can see me too much, but I can have a nice lifestyle. That's not a call. That's an emotion. That's an emotion. This is why God could call David to being a king at 14. Because David wasn't wrapped up in the emotion of it. David wasn't lusting to be king. David wasn't lusting to do it. He was just out there, sheep herding. That was his thing. He was just out there looking at the sheep. And one day as he's doing his thing, looking at the sheep, he gets a call from God. But he didn't allow his emotions to get him wrapped up in it. Okay, now I got to go kill Saul, so I'm going to go be king. That wasn't happening. Okay, God brought that call in God's own time, when David was good and ready. Right? When David was good and ready, and Saul's opportunities were filled up. So I have to be careful as a believer not to get enthralled with my navel. Because my navel is not really a good place to be. And really, either is yours. In Genesis 3:14, the Word of God says, "And the Lord God said unto the serpent, Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field, and upon thy belly thou shalt go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life." This started with the enemy. In Ezekiel 28, the enemy got offended, and he started trafficking his merchandise because he was hurt in his emotions. And he started wallowing. And God said to him, "Because you have done this, Satan, you're going to be completely ruled and enthralled by your own emotions until the end of time and beyond." Because he's going to live beyond time. You're going to be enthralled by your emotions. You're going to be ruled and regulated by your emotions. Satan is completely controlled by his emotions. Onto his belly he went. His life is in his emotions. And he eats of the dust of the earth, because that's what you do when you are ruled by your emotions. You start to eat of the dust of the earth. You start to eat of the very natural things. You start to eat of the things you think you can figure out, but you're not entirely sure. And one day you figure it out this way, but the next day, because the wind has changed direction, you will figure it out that way. And so you try to figure it out, but you're not very successful, because really it's only dust. And dust goes wherever the wind blows. And so you are very unstable. And Satan is actually very unstable. Albeit brilliant, he is very unstable. Why is he unstable? Because he is deceived. Because he has responded in his emotions when he was Lucifer to God in a perfect rebellious response, a response that would never change. And so he was cast out. And then when he was here on earth and did that to Adam and Eve, then he said, God said, "Fine, you will now be ruled by those emotions." In Psalm 44:25, the same thing happens to people. "For our soul is bowed down to the dust, our belly cleaves unto the earth." My soul, my mind and my conscience and my self-consciousness, my emotions and my volition, they are cleaved on unto the dust. They want to understand in natural reasoning. They want sight. They want to be able to handle the call. They want to be able to put their hands on the ark and have the ark go where they would have it to go. And this is the state of today's Christianity sometimes. People want to be able to direct the call of God in their lives on their own. They want to say, "This is my call because this is my preference." But it doesn't work that way. God isn't necessarily going to call you into your preference. Now, God is going to be very gracious to you, very kind, very merciful. He's going to give you all the provisions you need, and your call will become a delight to you. But it is not always according to what you would prefer with natural standards. It is not according to what makes sense by sight or by natural reasoning. It is according to God's perfect will. What sense did it make that David was called to be king when he was 14 years old? That made no sense. But it was the call of God, and it was a promise God gave him. By the way, all promises are future, otherwise they are not promises. So it was a promise that God gave him. And that was what God was going to do for David. Why did God do that? So God could build a capacity in David for the time when he did become king. And this is how the God works with the believer. But the believer has to be careful. As they receive a call, as they receive a promise, as they go about their daily business, as they are using their free volition in the routine details of their day, that they not get encompassed and mixed with their emotions. You see, my emotions are not capable of any intelligent thought. For that matter, they're not capable of unintelligent thought. They simply feel. And then it becomes all an issue of how I feel. And if I feel good about it, it's good. If I feel bad about it, it's bad. If I feel neutral about it, who cares? But that's not how it works in God's kingdom. God's not interested in whether my emotions are responding to my call. God is interested in whether I'm responding to Him. And as I respond to Him, He leads me into a call. But He always tells me about it ahead of time because that's what He does. The Holy Spirit's ministry to the believer is to lead him in all truth and to show him the things to come. In Isaiah 42, God says, I'm going to tell you about something new I'm going to do, and I'm going to tell you so that you'll know it's me that's doing it. In Isaiah 43, God says, that I'm going to show you something that's coming. Why? So that you'll know. That's all. Why? Because that's the way we go from faith to faith. For example, I'm in a circumstance, and it's very difficult for me. And I go and I get a promise from God, and He'll give me a promise. Like He did with you. You knew long before it happened that it was going to happen, and yesterday it came. You knew it was going to happen. Did it make sense? No. According to sight, during the process, it looked like exactly the opposite was going to happen. And look at what happens. Yesterday, it's yours. Well, that's exactly how God works. God says, don't worry about how it looks like. Don't worry about if you can understand it. Don't worry about if you can figure it out. Don't worry if you know what to do or not. And don't worry if you get upset, nervous, scared, insecure. Don't worry about it. Why? Faithful is He who called you, who will also do it. Has God said, and shall He not do it? Did God say it, and He's not going to do it? But we believers, because we are enthralled with our navel, we think, oh, God said it, but I don't know if He's going to do it. God is not a man that He can lie. Of course He's going to do what He said. He's not a man that He can lie. And He's going to bless you out of your orbit and when He brings it to pass. I don't have to be afraid. I don't have to be worried. I don't have to be anxious. I simply have to wait on God. It's that simple. I can't do it with peace in my heart if I'm staring at my navel. If I'm staring at how this feeds my emotions. You know what you do with your emotions? You don't worry about them. I didn't say you don't have them. You don't worry about them. There's a big difference. Don't tell me there's a soldier who's a Christian who's going into the front line of a battle who isn't a little bit nervous. probably I would imagine, although I've never been in that circumstance, but probably I would imagine that most soldiers would say, if you're not a little bit nervous, you're going to be dead. You know what? Don't worry about your emotions, whether they are positive or negative, whether they are responding well or poorly. Your emotions will follow whatever you feed them with. If you stare at your navel, you're not giving them much to go on. Okay. You know what people do? They feed their emotions with their emotions. Oh, I'm nervous. I'm nervous! You see what I'm saying? Don't worry about the emotions. The emotions will follow with maturity. The emotions will follow when you get some experience. The emotions will follow when you have the Word of God more and more in your heart. The emotions will follow as you grow in Christ. Don't worry about your emotions. Just don't worry about them. Like it, dislike it, happy, sad, scared, nervous, excited, doesn't make any difference. Why? Because seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things are added unto you. You don't have to, just, you know what, focus on seeking first the kingdom of God. Don't worry about anything else, focus on seeking first the kingdom of God. And then all these things are added unto you. In Revelation 10:10, the Word of God says, "And I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it up. And it was in my mouth sweet as honey." But get this. "And as soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter." This is the Word of God, isn't it? This is good preaching. To my mouth it is sweet. It enlivens me. My spirit loves it. My spirit responds to it, but the conviction comes, and in my emotions it's bitter. Now, John was warned by the angel that that would happen. John said to the angel, "Give me the book that I can eat it." And the angel said to him, "I'll give you the book that you can eat it, but it's going to be sweet in your mouth, but bitter in your belly." You know what? John ate the book. When a believer eats the Word of God, when a believer eats solid Bible doctrine, when a believer eats solid preaching, it's going to be sweet to the spirit of man, but it's going to be bitter to his belly. It's going to be bitter to his emotions as the old man, the old Adamic man, is being led to the cross. The emotions will resist. Now, if a believer is controlled by his emotions, he won't go to the cross. He would simply live in misery and death. But when you realize that on the other side of the cross, there are better emotions than you started with, as your emotions respond to the life that is in resurrection strength from God, resurrection life from God on the other side of the cross, then you're not worried so much about it, because then you have the experience that we talked about before to know that through the cross the emotions are actually happier. They're better there than they are in front of the cross. In Proverbs 20:27, the Word of God says, "The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord." The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. The human spirit is where God's light shines in, searching the inward parts of the belly. God deals with our emotions quite quickly. Why? Because they are such an important part of our soul. They are a very powerful portion of our soul, and He intends to use them when they are subjected to His Word. God searches the inward part of my emotions as His His Spirit illuminates my soul. Isn't that amazing? I have something in me as a man that receives directly from God. And it becomes light to my soul. Proverbs chapter 3. Turn there, please. Starting in verse 1, the Word of God says, this is how we get out of observing our navel. You feel stuck observing your navel? You feel stuck observing your navel? This is how you get out of it. My son, forget not my law. The law there is the word Torah. It's talking about the Word of God, not the Mosaic Law. My son, forget not my word, but let thine heart keep my commandments. Right? Let thine heart keep my commandments. Not the Ten Commandments, but the precepts of the Word of God. Meditate on these precepts. If you have a situation you're in, ask God to give you thoughts from His throne. Ask God to give you a promise for your circumstances. Ask God to lead you through His Holy Spirit and to fill you. By the way, always get up in the morning and acknowledge the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, fill me this morning. And throughout your day, periodically acknowledge the Holy Spirit and ask Him to fill you. You know what you'll find out? You can sense the difference. It's palpable. You can sense the difference. My son, do not forget my word and let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Do you understand what that means? Why would they add length of days to you? Well, for example, if I'm resting in the promises of God, if I'm resting in the love of God, if I'm resting in the faithfulness of God, I'm not going to have a whole lot of stress. Stress kills people. If I'm relaxed and I have a mentally relaxed attitude toward God and towards the things that He has told me and toward His attitude toward me, towards His faithfulness, really. If I simply trust Him because He's God and He loves me, and everything's going to be just fine because He is God and He loves me, then I will not have a very stressed out mental attitude. Then the stress hormones won't come and rob me of life. I'll simply be relaxed. I won't have problems with high blood pressure. I won't have problems with heart disease caused by stress. I won't have problems with ulcers. I know people say ulcers are caused by bacteria, but stress lowers your immune system. So it does have an effect. I won't have these problems. Why? Because I trust God, I believe Him. I'm not looking at my navel, I'm believing God. I'm not occupied with how it feels, I'm believing God. I'm not wondering, God, how are you going to take care of this? I simply know that He will. God, I don't need sight, I have faith. And I relax. It takes a while to get into a mentality like that, but you know what? God's going to bring you there. God's going to use the very circumstance in your life that's making you all discombobulated. And that's a spiritual word, discombobulated. It's from Hezekiah. 3:12. Look it up. It's in the modern version. God's going to take the things that cause you to be discombobulated, and He's going to use those very things to prove His faithfulness and His love and His kindness and His mercy, and He's going to use those very things to make you grow. Your world is not going to fall apart. Do you know why? God is holding it together. And as long as God's arms are beneath you, there's nowhere you can go. Your life is not over, it's just beginning. God hasn't quit on you, He's just beginning. God hasn't said, I'm not willing, I'm not able, I'm not going to. God said, wait on me, just like He did with Anya. He just says, wait on me. I know it looks bad. I know it looks like it won't happen. But wait on me. Trust me, wait on me. You'll see that I'm faithful and I will do for you exactly what I said I would do for you. Wait on me. Relax. You don't have to stress out. You don't have to get anxious. You don't have to get upset. It looks like it's lost. You know what? Lazarus was gone 4 days, but he still came back. It doesn't matter what it looks like. The only thing that matters is God's faithfulness. And that's all that matters. God will do exactly what He has said. Relax. He's given you all these promises. Relax. He will do exactly as He has said. And He will not be one iota of a moment late. There's a time that has been appointed. It's set. It was set there from eternity past. And it has been put in a time, in time, like a marker. Like a millstone on a road. And when you reach that millstone, the time is there and the vision will come. It will come. I love that example of that little girl. Right? God told you she would be yours, but she went to somebody else's house. It looked impossible. The papers were signed, the deal was done. Didn't need a hearing, didn't need a court order, didn't need nothing. Needed God's time, and that was all. When God says something to me, when God gives me a call, when I have a prayer, when I have a promise, when I have something that my heart desires from my Savior, all I need is God's time. If God said it, He will do it. All I need is God's time. Don't you get it? You can completely and utterly relax. All you need is God's timing. There's nothing to be afraid of. That little girl was in their house for months. She's not there anymore. She's here. She's in your house. Why? God's time was appointed for a specific moment. There was a moment in time when you put her in your car and you could call yourself her mom. And you drove away with her. God's time comes. And when it comes, the promise, the vision, the prayer, the calling, whatever it is, when the vision comes, it is fulfilled. And you didn't have to do a thing. Now all that worry, all that fretting, all that anxiety, all that nervousness, all that upset, did it do anything at all? Right? Did it add one cubit to your stature? Did it help anything at all? Was being insecure about your call, about His promise, about your prayer, was it in any way, did it in any way contribute to God's ability to fulfill things for you? You know what? Nervous or not, God did what He did. Right? Nervous or not, God, and I'm not saying you were all those things, don't misunderstand. But nervous or not, God did what He did. My emotions can go absolutely ballistic sometimes, but I'll tell you one thing, God always does what He says. God is always faithful. He's not thrown off kilter by the fact that I'm nervous. that I'm anxious, that I'm scared, that I'm worried, that I'm insecure, that I don't know how to handle things? You don't have to know how to handle things. He handles things. You relax, you abide, you get built up in the Word, you get edified in the body of Christ, you stay faithful, and you relax. This is how you handle the call. This is how you handle a promise. This is how you handle a prayer. You relax. Let God do it. Faithful is He who's called you. David became king. Isaac was born. Right? Israel entered into the promised land. Little Anya came home. In God's time, the vision is fulfilled. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. In God's time, the vision is fulfilled. Relax. Are you in a hurry or are you afraid? Neither one makes a difference. He'll give you the capacity and He'll give you the patience. Right? And then when the appointed time comes, the vision comes to pass. God has never been late. By the way, God has never been early. God's right on time. Every time. It's like Jesus walking 20 miles and He just happens to run into the woman at the well. You think that was an accident? He knew how to time every footstep. A couple minutes early, He would have missed her. A couple minutes late, He would have missed her. He knew how to time every footstep. God knows how to time every one of your footsteps. Relax. The steps of the righteous are ordered by the Lord, and God directs their path. Relax. There's nothing in your life that God is not in charge of. There's nothing in your life that He can't deal with or handle. There's nothing in your life that's going to faze Him or surprise Him or throw Him for a loop. So relax. He's on the throne and He knows what He's doing. And by the way, He's intimately involved in the details of your life. So relax. Don't focus on your navel. Your navel is not doing you any favors. What do I do then? I focus on my Savior. I don't forget His Word. And my heart keeps His commandments. And then in verse 3 he said, let not mercy and truth forsake you. It's the Spirit of God that leads me to all truth. Let not those things forsake thee. Bind them around your neck. Your neck is your volition. Bind mercy and truth around your volition. Write them upon the tables of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Now get this. Learn this. Learn this. Learn this next verse. Have it be your life verse. Every one of you, have this be your life. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And lean not unto thine own understanding. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Why? Because then you won't be looking at your navel. Then your emotions won't be giving you a hard time. Then your natural reasoning won't be giving you a hard time. Then sight or lack of it won't be giving you a hard time. Then nothing will give you a hard time. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Can you imagine those poor people who have certain psychological problems? What would it do for so many of them if they simply trusted in the Lord with all their heart? What would it do for anxiety disorders, mood disorders? What would that do if they simply trusted in the Lord with all their heart? What would it do for people who suffer with panic attacks if they simply trusted in the Lord with all their heart? What would it do for believers who are plagued with doubt or guilt or fear or insecurity or a bad self-image or whatever it might be if they would simply trust in the Lord with all their heart? But the Word of God says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Oh, but God, I can't figure things out. Or God, how is this going to... look at me, what am I? Or I blew it, I can't ever recover, I blew... You know what? Lean not on your own understanding. Lean not on your own understanding. Don't you realize these two thoughts are forever in eternity joined together, trusting the Lord in all your heart and lean not on your own understanding? You cannot lean on your understanding and you will not if you trust in the Lord. Likewise, if you're leaning on your own understanding, you will not trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Don't rely on it. Don't think about it. Don't even use it as any kind of a premise. Don't try to analyze with it. Don't try to figure anything out with it. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. That's how it works. That's how it works. Why? When you lean on your own understanding, you're stuck on your navel. I don't need to be hung up on my navel. I don't need to do the things that feed my emotions. God will feed my emotions. In all thy ways. In which ways? All of them. How about the small things? Do I have to in the small things? In all, how about when I get up? In all your ways. How about when I go take a test at school? In all your ways. How about when I go for the job interview? In all your ways. How about when I have to deal with somebody that is difficult? In all your ways. How about when I get in the car? In all your ways. Acknowledge the Lord. Acknowledge Him. And what? He shall direct your path. Trust in the Lord. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him and He'll direct your path. And it's not just one, actually, it's plural, paths. Everything that you do, He will direct it when you acknowledge Him, trust Him with all your heart, and don't lean on your own understanding. Be not wise in your own eyes. Do not think that you have any kind of ability to figure things out when God's ways are so much higher than our ways and God's thoughts are so much higher than our thoughts. And here we are trying to figure things out by sight and by emotions. And today I feel like it's going to work and tomorrow I feel like it's not going to work. And you know what? I'm just a bit twisted, big twisted wire ball of muck and I can't untangle myself. You know what? You don't have to. Throw the mess away and simply trust God to be faithful to you. He gave you something. He gave you a promise. He gave you a call. He gave you a purpose. He gave you a vision. He gave you a body of Christ. He gave you something. Trust Him in it. Relax. Trust Him. Relax and trust Him. Relax and trust Him. You start getting nervous or upset or anxious about something, just tell yourself, relax. Trust God. Say that. Repeat after me. Relax. Trust God.
Relax. Trust God.
Say it again. Relax. Trust God.
Relax.
Say it again. Relax. Trust God.
Relax, trust God.
Say it again. Relax, trust God.
Relax, trust God.
See, we're going to say it so many times until it's just a habit. Relax, trust God.
Relax, trust God.
Relax, just trust God.
Relax, trust God.
Relax, trust God.
Relax, trust God.
There you go. Relax and trust God. Hey, you're in His hands. He died for you. He loves you. He spoke the universe into being. He can take care of your life too. He already took care of it. Before the world began, whatever that vision is, before the world began, God set a millstone in time as the time of its fulfillment. Trust Him. Trust Him. It's already there. That's why He could tell you about it. It's already there. Trust Him. Simply trust Him. An architect builds a city. You don't see people questioning whether the building that he built is actually present. God built your life. You don't need to worry about whether everything is actually present. It's there. It's all there. It's all in its place. It's all in its time. It's all already there. If you were in eternity, you could look at the platform of time and you could point to it. There it is. Oh, you're over here, but it's over here. David, you're 14. You're just right over here, but your fulfillment as king is right over here. God will be faithful to you. God will always be faithful to you. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He will never lie to you. He will always be faithful. Relax and trust Him. Be not wise in your own eyes, but fear the Lord and depart from evil. And get this, it shall be health to your navel. It will be health to your navel and marrow to your bones. You want healthy emotions? Relax and trust God. Just relax and trust God. In Numbers 21 and verse 8, and the Lord said to Moses, make thee a fiery serpent and set it on a pole. What do I do with those times that I was studying my navel? They've had an effect on me. There's some scars there after spending enough time with the navel. It's had an effect on me. What do? I look at the fiery serpent suspended on the pole, and I will live. That's what I do. I look at the fiery serpent suspended on the pole, and I will live. And finally, in Ezekiel 16, starting in verse 1, and the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, cause Jerusalem to know her abominations, and say, thus saith the Lord God unto Jerusalem, thy birth and thy nativity is in the land of Canaan. The natural man, the fleshly man, the ungodly man, the man who was once an enemy. Your birth was in the land of Canaan. Thy father was an Amorite, the flesh. Your father was the flesh. Your mother a Hittite. So you have things like flesh, lust patterns, world system. You have things like old sin nature, and they are all working against you. You have the enemy, and he is working against you. And this is where you came from. And as for thy nativity, in the day thou was born, thy navel was not cut, neither was thou washed in word to supple thee. Thou wast not salted at all. Hold it, I said that wrong. Neither wast thou washed in water to supple thee. Thou wast not salted at all, nor swaddled at all. You got saved, but you didn't get, there was no pixie dust. You got saved, and there was no spiritual little wand to make you mature and spiritual and trusting God and having it all. There was no capacity. There was nothing. Your navel was not cut. You were still tied to the world as it was feeding your emotions. Your navel was not cut. You were not washed in the Word of God yet. And you were not preserved with salt. You were not seasoned. You had no convictions yet. You were born into the world and you had nothing yet. and you were not swaddled, you were not covered in the blood in a practical, experiential way. You were not swaddled in the finished work. Not yet. But listen, none I pitied thee to do any of these unto thee. The world didn't have any pity on you. The carnal Christian had no pity on you. The place where there is no word of God, where there is only law and legalism and self-righteousness, had no pity on you. But thou wast cast out in the open field to the loathing of thy person in the day that thou wast first born. But what? And when I passed thee, when I passed you, and saw you polluted in your own blood, I said to you, when thou wast in thy blood, live. Yea, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. I have caused thee to multiply and to bud of the field, in other words, to become fruitful. And thou hast increased and waxen great, and thou art come to excellent ornaments, thy breasts are fashioned, and thy hair is grown, whereas thou wast naked and bare. This is what God does. We are with no capacity, we are with no ability, we are with no more faith than it takes to receive Christ. We are still influenced by the world. We are still like the world. We're not washed by His Word. We do not know how to think. And then He passes by. And He takes us as His own. And He nurtures us. And He sends people our way to build our hearts and our souls. And He gives us a capacity for Him. And He causes us to receive the Word of God, to have the blood of Christ become an experiential reality rather than a theological truth. And then He lets us experience His life in His Word through His Spirit in the body of Christ. And we become fruitful. And we grow. And we become great. And we multiply. We win souls. We win souls, we bring people in, we win souls, we bring people in, we multiply. And in the end, in Song of Solomon 7:2, thy navel is like a round goblet. It's a vessel for holding something, which wanteth not liquor. It's a vessel. Your emotions become a vessel, but they do not want intoxication. They do not want the things of the flesh, the things of the world, the things of sin, the things that do not satisfy, although they hope that they will satisfy. It is a goblet, but it is not longing for the things of the world anymore. It is not longing for the things of the old sin nature of self-indulgence, of worldliness and worldly satisfactions. Thy belly is like a heap of wheat set about with lilies. It becomes fed, and it becomes life, and it becomes a sweet aroma. And your emotions are life-giving at that point, and they become a sweet aroma to yourself and to other people also. And so you are no longer intoxicated in your emotions, staring at your navel. You are receiving in a goblet from the Word of God. You're receiving the water of life, and it becomes a life-giving sweet aroma, and your emotions give a sweet savor unto the Lord, and a sweet savor unto the lost, and a sweet savor unto believers. And you are grown. And you have matured because you got into the Word of God and you trusted Him and you trusted Him and you trusted Him and you relax and you trust Him. And no longer are you absorbed with your navel. You're absorbed with the lover of your soul. As I become absorbed with the lover of my soul, my emotions become very, very satisfied. God is better than the world. and the things of God are better than anything I could provide for myself or that the world could give me. It is satisfying to be with God. But too many people are absorbed with their navel. And they don't get to experience this. But they don't have to be there. They can simply relax and trust Him and grow. Amen.